Well, I'm excited about this teaching this morning. Would you open your Bibles and let's go to our master text in Psalm 91, and we're going to read the entire chapter this morning, Psalm 91. Now, as you're turning there, I want to say this. This is something that I've wanted to teach for a long time, and I wasn't going to teach it today, but what happened in Las Vegas this past week sort of moved this subject to the front burner. So this is very important for our time. And, since the world is such an increasingly scary place, it's a very timely message, I believe, this morning. So Psalm 91, let's turn there. And when you find it, let's stand up and honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning. You read and follow along in whatever version that you have. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It says this, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence." And by the way, if you don't know what pestilence means, that means a deadly disease. That's what that means. "You shall not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." I love this part. "A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked." That means the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Oh, I'm excited about this. You know, the world is a scary place, isn't it? You know, we just came through a really, really, actually we're not through it yet, a really, really scary hurricane season. And, Hurricane Irma, as an example, was supposed to be the biggest, baddest, deadliest, most devastating hurricane in U.S. history. But when the news came about how absolutely massive this hurricane was and how destructive it was going to be, you know, they predicted winds up to 185 miles an hour, which is tornado speed winds in a hurricane. And when that news came, God's people got busy praying about that thing and began declaring over that thing. And, there's a pocket of people that are faith people. Donna and I, one of them, we just began declaring over that thing by the authority that God has invested in us. Okay, the scriptures say that, right? I've given you authority, Jesus said, to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we just take that at face value and we just start declaring over that thing, disperse in the name of Jesus. And you know what happened? I'm not saying that it was because of our prayers and declarations alone, because a lot of God's people were doing this. That thing did exactly that. It dispersed. And it died down. There's no scientific explanation for why that hurricane did what it did. Because it was supposed to just go across Florida and just devastate everything. And there was some damage, but it was very, very minimal compared to what was predicted. Right? So there's a lot of scary things in the world, from hurricanes to people texting now when they drive and cause accidents. As a matter of fact, that picture that you're looking there on the right side of the screen is the car that hit me earlier this week. And you know what? What's interesting is 5 minutes before that collision, I was claiming Psalm 91 over my life. 5 minutes before that. And then, wham, somebody runs into me, totals that car. They take him away in a stretcher and a neck brace, and he's crying hysterically. And they took him away to the hospital. I walk away. Now, I did have a little bit of my head hit the backrest really hard, so I had a little bit of concussion, but nothing serious. I walked away relatively unscathed. It could have been so much worse in a different scenario where maybe I wasn't walking in faith, right? So we just need to be just faith aware all the time, don't we? So there are a lot of things in this world that can kill or maim you. You know, life is very fragile, isn't it? From deadly weather to careless drivers, life is fragile. And it pays to know what God's Word says about divine protection. And of course, not only scary weather and careless drivers, but of course, also terrorism is a big, big issue in our world now. You know, the Las Vegas shooting and, 9/11 and all the different terrorist attacks. It's a scary place the world is to live in these days. I want you to understand that this time and place in human history is no time to be lax about faith. It's no time to be lax about faith. More than ever before, friends, we must familiarize ourselves with God's promises of protection and lay claim to them. Now, what do I mean by laying claim to them? That means claim them for yourself. That's for me. You see a promise in the Word of God and you claim it for yourself. That's for me. That's not for somebody else. Well, it is for all mankind. He'll take it, but it's for me. You lay claim to it, right? So a key concept here is that you can't experience what you don't know about or you don't believe. See, some people say, oh, I don't believe in all that faith stuff, in all that divine protection and healing and such. Well, I got to say this. If you don't believe that, that's okay. You won't be bothered with it. If you don't believe in divine healing, if you don't believe in divine protection, don't worry about it. You won't be bothered with it. Because you can't receive what you don't believe. You can't get what you don't know about and you don't believe. So if you don't believe in divine healing, if you don't believe in divine protection, if you don't believe that God wants to bless you in all areas of your life, in your family, in your finances, etc., don't worry about it. You don't have to be bothered with it. Because you can't receive what you don't believe. All right. On that note, I want us to understand, we're going to look a little bit deeper into Psalm 91. I want you to understand that there are prerequisites to qualify for Psalm 91 protection. So we're going to look at some of those prerequisites as we saw them there listed in Psalm 91. So let's look at verse 1 again for a moment. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Well, that word dwells there in the Hebrew is a word that I'm not sure I can pronounce. It's luin, I believe. And it means this, to lodge, to abide, to remain, to continue, to dwell, and to endure. Okay? So it's a constancy. Right? It's a constancy. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, you're constantly in fellowship with your Father. You know, the scriptures say pray without ceasing. That's a good example of dwelling, abiding, constancy. Okay? So that's one picture right there. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible translates that part like this, because he is lovingly devoted to me. All right. Well, what's the Greek say, or the Hebrew in this case? What's the Hebrew say? That phrase, or that word that was translated into the phrase loves me or lovingly devoted, is the Hebrew word cheshak. Cheshak, you know, the Hebrew, it's a throaty kind of language, so you kind of have to clear your voice, or when you actually say it, you are clearing your voice. Cheshak. That's how the Hebrew is a lot of times. So cheshak means this: to delight in, attached to cling, all right? So it's not just a passive relationship. You cling to your Savior. You're passionate about it, right? You're attached to Him. You cling to Him like a life vest, like a life raft. Yeah, you cling to it with dear life. Let's look at the other part of verse 14. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Well, that word acknowledges in Hebrew is the word yada. Now, you're really going to love this one, because yada means to know and intimacy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the very same word used other places in the Scripture for sexual union. Oh, yeah. In Genesis 4:25, it says that Adam knew his wife. The word knew is yada. And she gave birth to a son. So that whole picture then, yada, as it relates to our relationship with God, is a picture of intimacy. An intimate, passionate relationship with God. So our intimacy, passion, and desire for God has everything to do with our level of protection. See, there's a lot of people that are going around and claiming Psalm 91 for themselves, but they have not met the prerequisites. They have a very passive, apathetic relationship with the Lord. And yeah, they go to church, they punch the time card. Yeah, I did my religious duty today and I went to church. But otherwise, they have a very passionless relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not the center of their world. He's a little peripheral part over here. Oh yeah, I got my work. You know, I've got my kids. I've got my wife. I've got my hobbies. Oh yeah, I've got my hobbies. And you know, over here in the periphery, there's the God thing. Now that's not what Psalm 91 is talking about. That doesn't qualify you for Psalm 91 protection. It's an intimate, passionate relationship with God that is a yada kind of relationship. It's intimate. You love Him. Your heart is set upon Him. Your heart is set upon His kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. So let's talk about more promises then and prerequisites. We're going to wear out our fingers this morning turning to Bible verses. You don't mind that, do you? If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 21 through 26. In verse 21, it says, "My son, let them," it's talking about God's commands or the instructions here, "My son, let them," instruction, "not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror," or another version says sudden disaster, "nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." All right, so the promise there is this: no fear of sudden disaster. You might hear Julie Suvercroup quote that quite often. We have no fear of sudden disaster. If I've heard her say that once, I've heard her say it 100,000 times. We have no fear of sudden disaster. That's a great quote to quote over yourself, to declare over yourself. We have no fear of sudden disaster. So that's the promise there. But what's the prerequisite? The prerequisite is that we walk in sound judgment. That we walk in sound judgment. Here's what I mean by that. See, I heard a story one time about a woman that, you know, she was kind of a faith person. She kind of had an idea about concepts of faith, and she declared, you know, Psalm 91 over herself and that sort of thing. But she had something to do downtown in a big, you know, bad part of town one time, not around here, but in a bigger city, I guess. And she just felt like a check in her spirit. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with that term, that's just kind of a term that we use for when you feel like you want to do something or don't want to do something, and you get a hesitation, or the Lord is, you feel like you're being directed otherwise. We just call that a check in our spirit. That's not in the Bible. That's just something that we call it. It's just God's checking me on that. Okay, that's a check in my spirit. She's got a kind of a check in her spirit about not going down there by herself during this time of night. But for some reason, she did it anyway. And when she got down there, she got mugged at knife point. And it really traumatized her. And she asked God, Lord, why did you let that happen to me? I'm a faith person. I believe in Psalm 91. I declare that over myself. Why did that happen to me? She believed that the Holy Spirit revealed to her is because she violated what the Holy Spirit was speaking to her about not going down there during that time of the night by herself. So you have to operate in wisdom. You got to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Learn how to hear from Him, first of all, but also learn to abide by the instruction in His Word. Because just abiding by the instruction that's in His Word will keep you out of a lot of trouble. You abide by the instruction in His Word, and it will keep you from making bad mistakes that sometimes cost you greatly. So the promise is we have no fear of sudden disaster, but the prerequisite is that we walk in sound judgment and learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Let's look at another one. Let's look at Psalm chapter 3. So you're in Proverbs, so just turn left and go to the book of Psalm and find chapter 3. And this is a short psalm, so we're going to read the whole thing. Are you there? Okay, verse 1, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. You see the peace that's coming on him now as he writes? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Amen. All right, so what's the promise here? The promise here is that the Lord will be a shield around you. He will be your shield and your buckler, didn't we read in Psalm 91? What's the prerequisite? That we call on the Lord in times of trouble. It didn't say that we would never have times of trouble. It's just that we call on Him in our time of trouble. Now look, a lot of people, especially if you're pretty self-sufficient, when you're confronted with trouble, a lot of people, the first thing that they do, their mind automatically starts thinking about, well, how can I figure out a way out of this problem, rather than going directly to God as your first line of defense and seek His help. See, here's what we do. We usually put God on the back burner, and if all of our other efforts fail, if our intellectual efforts have failed, if all the things that we try to figure out how to solve this problem fail, then we might go to God and ask for His help if everything else has failed, instead of making Him our first person that we go to. Amen? You know, God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, right? Well, I'm just going to give you a few more promises. I'm just going to pepper you with a word this morning. Just so you know, this is not my opinion. This is not the gospel of Andy. This is the Bible. Okay? So, how about Isaiah 54:17? I love this promise right here. Check this out. No weapon formed against you or forged against you will prevail. There's a, I actually cut my teeth on this on the, I think it's the New King James Version. No weapon formed against you will prosper is the way that I know it. This is a different version. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. These are God's promises to you. Now, Psalm 18, the whole psalm is worth checking out, but I'm just going to read some excerpts from it. It says this, the Lord is my rock. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Verse 3, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. These are promises that you need to be claiming over yourself, declaring over yourself, right? It gets better. Psalm 34, again, the whole psalm is worth checking out, but I'm just going to read a few selections from that. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord, I love this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now, by the way, before I read a little bit more from Psalm 34, let me just interject here and just talk about angels for just a moment. Because I don't think that this is as much of a point of emphasis as it should be, because the scriptures talk about angels all over the place. I hope I don't get too weird for some of you here, because I know that we're Americans and we're intellectuals, right? But how many of you know that God works in vision sometimes, that God can peel back the veil, if you will, of our reality, and we can see into the Spirit and we can have visions? Did you know that that's all through the Bible? God still operates that way today. Heidi, at times, has been a seer in that way. God has given Heidi several visions. She came up to me after a service one day. Maybe it was during a service. I don't remember. Anyway, it was quite some time ago. And she told me that God just gave her a glimpse, just very brief vision of two angels in the room. On both, as I was preaching, both on one side and this side. And they were, Heidi, can you describe them? I mean, was there a lot of detail in that vision? She said, for those of you that didn't hear that, they were huge, and they were standing by each door on each side of the building as kind of guarding posts. Yeah, on each side of the sanctuary. So did you know the scriptures teach that you have at least one and maybe two angels assigned to you, every single one of you? You have an angel assigned to you. Isn't that cool? So Hebrews 1:14, as a matter of fact, says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's not in your notes, so Hebrews 1:14 is where you'll find that. Are not all ministering spirits, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's us. They're sent to serve you and me. Hope that's not too pseudo-spiritual for you, but that's what, hey, the Bible teaches just as much about angels as it does about any other concept. Angels are real, just like demons are real. Satan's real. Hell is real. There's an unseen world that you can't even imagine. And sometimes God does allow people to, the veil is, for all I know, that's the only thing that I know how to describe it. The veil of reality is peeled back, and you can see in the Spirit for just a moment sometimes when God gives people visions. Okay, so there's angels in here right now. Did you know that? You know that? Mine are big and strong, intimidating. They are bad dudes in the Spirit. Yeah? I just feel like preaching about angels. I'm not sure why. I just You know, when Daniel was fasting, you know, his prayer was delayed. And then an angel appeared to him. And he said that he was resisted for 21 days by the Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia was a demonic force that reigned over that region. And it was apparently a very strong demonic force. And they battled for 21 days. This angel was bringing the answer to Daniel. And he was held up by a demonic force that hindered him. And it was such a strong demonic force that the archangel Michael had to come and put an end to that thing so that the lower ranking angel could go and deliver the message to Daniel. Can you imagine what Michael must look like? Boom! He must be a stud of an angel. Anyway, let's move on here. Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them sometimes if he's not too busy doing something else. Now, the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 19, the righteous person may have many troubles. Now, folks, listen, you've heard me talk about this verse before. And I just want to say this again, because so much of the church, they've got that part of the verse memorized. And that's what they seem to gravitate to and grab onto. Well, you know, brother, the righteous person may have many troubles, and that's where they stop. Do you know that that phrase is lifted out of context? Unless you quote it with everything else before and after. You're not giving the whole picture when you say, well, brother, you know, the righteous have many troubles. Well, the righteous do have many troubles. Yes, the Bible does say that. But read on. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. All. Now, I don't remember who it was that said that they did a hermeneutical and exegetical study on that word all. And they looked it up in the Greek, and they looked it up in the Hebrew, and they looked it up in all the different various ancient languages. And at the end of this exhaustive study, what they came up with is that word all actually means all. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. You know, somebody who wasn't paying attention crashed into me, as I said, on Tuesday. By the way, the person never even hit the brakes. He must have been texting or something. He had no idea I was stopped in front of him. Wham! Full speed. And that person, as I said earlier, was taken away in a neck brace and on a stretcher, crying hysterically. And his car was completely demolished. And mine, minimal damage, a little bit of a headache after the crash was over. But not one of my bones was broken. Look, I was inconvenienced, yes. I was inconvenienced that day, yes. Had the opportunity to show mercy upon this person that, you know, I could have been irate. Because my work day was disrupted, my car was damaged, and I could have been irate like I see some drivers do, but no, I had the opportunity just to show compassion on this guy and just say, you know, man. And again, he was obviously distraught at what he'd done. But my point is that, man, this could have been so much worse. I have a sister who was back-ended, and she, by her own words, said, that back-end collision ruined my back for life. She said, my back is ruined for life because of that back end collision. Well, I say that I have no lasting any type of symptoms as a result of this. And you know, again, I had a little bit of back stiffness, and that's all gone today. Headache's gone. I'm fine. The righteous person may have many troubles. Yeah, I was inconvenienced that day. That was trouble for me. But the Lord delivers him from them all, meaning troubles. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Do you know when I have had broken bones? When I didn't know these promises, I didn't believe in them, and I didn't appropriate them. I had a few broken bones back then. when I wasn't living for God, got in a fight and got my nose moved to the other side of my face. When you live for the Lord and you know these promises and you appropriate them, you don't have to experience that stuff. Will you have trouble? Will you have inconveniences? Will you have frustrations? Yes, that's the world we live in. But for you to have devastating accidents and, you know, be shot down by terrorists and that sort of thing, that doesn't have to happen to you. In fact, I need to tell you this. Donna shared with me an audio recording of a call that came into Kenneth Copeland Ministries during the terrorist shooting in Las Vegas. There was a family, there was a lady there who was familiar with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, walked in faith, believed the promises of God, and during that shooting, while all the commotion was going on, who did she call? 911? No, the Kenneth Copeland prayer line. She had it memorized. They played this recording, and you could hear all the commotion going on in the background, and this woman just declaring the safety and protection of God over this woman and her family. And I don't know, she had two or three or four other family members there with her. They all walked away unscathed. So, and the shooting stopped at about that time. That's right. Thank you for that detail. Yeah, so just at about that time when they were praying, just shortly thereafter, the shooting stopped. You can't tell me that that sort of thing is coincidence. People that know these promises, people that walk in these promises, they get the benefit of these promises. Now, again, if you choose not to believe them, fine. You won't have to be bothered with it. Just go ahead right now and take Psalm 91 and rip it out of your Bible and throw it away. If you don't want to believe it, just take Psalm 91, rip it right out of your Bible. Psalm 34, rip it right out of your Bible. Psalm 37, rip it right out of your Bible. And you won't have to be bothered with it. No, we don't do that. We honor the Word of God and we believe His promises. And we want to be benefited by His promises. We want to believe them. Right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let me give another one. I'm about done here. Psalm 37, again, a great, great chapter of the Bible. Especially if you've been wronged by someone, go to Psalm 37 and be encouraged by Psalm 37. Okay, let me just read this little caveat for you, this little section out of Psalm 37, verses 1 through 4. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Once again, in order to get the desires of your heart, which would include protection for you and your family, what's the prerequisite? You delight yourself in the Lord. He's not just a peripheral part of your life that you give Him very, very little thought otherwise. No, He's the central part of your life. Everything revolves around Him. You don't expect everything to revolve around you and God to revolve around you. No, you adjust your life and you revolve around God, and He's the central part. And you're passionate about God. That's delighting in the Lord. Okay? And when you can delight yourself in the Lord, then you can claim these promises. See, there's too many people walking around these days claiming the promises that they have never met the prerequisites for. There are prerequisites for the promises of God. And unless you know what those prerequisites are, you can't claim them. For example, this is kind of an off topic, but I'll just make this quick point, and then we're going to close here in a minute. A lot of people claiming the promises of prosperity. Folks, if you're not giving and tithing and being generous, those promises don't apply to you. I'm sorry. Those promises do not apply to you. You can't claim the promises of God's provision and prosperity if you're not tithing and giving and being generous to the poor. Those promises do not apply to you. So there are prerequisites, but God wants to bless you. He wants to protect you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal your family. Yeah? Every single part of your life, He wants to have a hand in and benefit you in. Amen? Now, next week, we're going to revisit this topic. And next week, we're going to deal with some questions about this topic. Like, for example, well, I knew someone who really loved God, and they died early in a car accident or something like that. Okay, well, we're going to deal with some of those things because those are legitimate questions and we need to know how to understand those types of things. So we're going to deal with that next week and elaborate on this more. So this isn't all there is to say about this topic. There's a lot more to this. So we'll talk about this next week, hopefully answer some of those questions for you, and then we're going to learn from the Lord and His scriptures even more. Stand with me and let's pray.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.